Good morning and welcome to ASI Internet Radio's Tuesday morning show, where ASI's most outspoken editors talk promo products. And all of these editors, we have a packed house here today. Joe?
Andy?
How are you doing this morning?
I'm terrific. How are you? I get top billing
this
week.
How you doing?
I'm good.
You had a little special thing for one of your sons this morning.
Yeah,
huh?
my eighth grader received an award at an assembly this morning for his community service that he provides to the local community and to the school as well. So we're very proud of him.
Isn't that special? Very congratulations. Cool.
His name's Shane.
Also in the studio here today, we have Michelle Bell, editor of Supplier Global Resource. Michelle, are you awake?
I am awake and just barely thrilled to be here, can I tell you?
Thrilled to be here. All right.
She said sarcastically.
She took the wrong pill this morning. It's the purple one, Michelle.
Okay. We don't want to know which pill she's taking. We also have Kathy Houston in the studio. Kathy, how are you?
Good, Andrew. How are you?
Oh, I'm doing fantastic.
That's great.
Yeah?
Great.
He says sarcastically.
I am really doing fantastic. Something.
I'm happy for you.
We also have our two editorial interns in the studio with us this morning and joining us for the show. We have Andy Van Treese. Did I say that right?
Yes,
Van
you did.
Van Treese. All right,
better than
that.
Girl Andy.
Girl Andy. Corrected me.
You have the same name as I do.
Yes, I do.
So we call me Mandy now? Man Andy?
And
what
Gandy.
Do we call you? Gandy?
I'm Gandy.
Okay.
Girl Andy.
That's I call her Dandy.
It's pretty unfortunate both ways around, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. We're going to be stuck with it. We also have Ellen Santa Maria. Ellen, how are you this morning?
I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm
Mandy.
I'm doing, as we've already established, I am doing absolutely
He's fabulous.
Fantastic. Yeah.
All right.
Couldn't be any better, right?
I'm sure you could.
Well, you're right. I probably could. Well, we are. Oh, who? You're pointing at Steve.
And?
Steve and Vinny. Steve on the tech board and Vinny manning the phones. And manning the phones because we are getting ready to take your calls this morning. The topic of the day is effective ways to build buzz for your company. So if you're looking for any PR tips, we are here to help. So give us a call at 215-953-4979. You'll speak to our man, Vin Driscoll, on the phone, and then we'll put you on the air. And if we do, we will give you a $25, what is it, Joe?
Visa gift card. Yep.
All right. So we will do that. But before we get started, Joe, give us a rundown on what we're going to talk about today.
Sure thing, Andy. Again, give us a call at 215-953-4979, or you can also send your questions to radio@asicentral.com. And we want to know what your problems are or your challenges with effective ways to build buzz for your company. How will millennials run the business world when it's their time, Kathy?
I'll let you know, Joe.
Okay, when it's your time, you'll let us know. We're also going to look at some industry apparel trends.
You're certainly not one of them.
No.
But you'll let us know.
We have tips for selling fundraisers, and we have the best industries for starting a business in 2010. A bunch of other topics we'd like to get to, and if we have time, I'll get something off of my chest. But first,
we're
going to
make time for that.
We're going to start with the news with Michelle Bell.
In conjunction with the Consumer Product Safety Commission, McDonald's announced last week that it's recalling 12 million promotional products glasses it's been selling in stores since May 21st. About 7 million of the glasses, which promote the new Shrek movie, have already been sold. The glasses were manufactured by a French company named ARC International, a non-ASI-listed company based in Millville, New Jersey. Check out Promogram today for more details. California is making a bid to become the first state to completely ban plastic bags from retail stores and supermarkets. The California State House of Representatives passed the new measure this week, and it will be now up to the Senate to determine if it becomes law. Governor Arnold Schwarzenegger said he would sign the bill. Counselor Top 40 supplier CoreVest announced that it has launched CoreVest Asia, an Asian-based office that will employ 15 people, led by Jay Zhang. The parent company of Advolite, It's All Greek to Me, and Toppers, said the new division is responsible for communicating with vendors, overseeing quality, and developing new products. Please make sure to check out the latest episode of The Joe Show today in Promogram. Joe, I'm feeling a little thirsty. Can you help me out?
Michelle, you delivered that line quite well.
Wow.
With sass.
We have some thirst quenchers on today's Joe Show with the help of Ellen and Gandy. So you'll want to stay tuned to see that in today's Promogram.
Michelle, I noticed you struggled to without smiling, say Governor Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Because you two were doing
humorous.
Something over there. I could see it peripherally.
Very nice. Well, we are now getting ready to take your calls. Give us a ring at 215-953-4979 and ask us any question you have about how to build buzz for your company. We have a couple of people already on the line. We have Stephanie on line one. Stephanie, how are you this morning?
Hi, I'm
I'm good. How is everybody?
Everybody's doing great. What is your question for this fantastic crew in the studio here?
I'm a supplier, and I really have been getting the feeling lately that I need to do something special so I can make a splash and kind of separate myself from all the other suppliers out there. So I was wondering if you guys could give me any tips to do that.
A splash. Michelle?
Self-promotion. So few suppliers do self-promotion pieces, and I've talked to enough distributors, and I'm sure Kathy has as well, that when they do, it really sets them apart from their competition. You know, we do webinars, and I'm doing a session on self-promotion in Chicago all the time. For sure, if you email me, we can send you tips on how to do that. But I think self-promotion is really a good way to do it. Use your own products. You know, send your own products in the mail in a creative campaign.
And anytime you can actually partner with your distributors to help them sell, they'll be more likely to be loyal to you.
Yeah, I would also try to, go online and go to the social networks.
Yeah.
Distributors are all over there right now. So go to the social networks and create a Facebook page if you don't have one yet, and try to connect with people that way.
You have to be careful, though, on the social networks. It can't be too commercially. It can't be too heavy on the marketing. It's got to be a little more subtle, so just be careful.
Now who's being Captain Killjoy?
Mm-hmm.
Well, Stephanie, hopefully that helps, and hopefully we've given you some ideas for your business this morning.
Absolutely. Thanks, guys.
Mm-hmm. On line two, we have Anthony with a question for us on Building Buzz. Anthony, how are you?
Good. Good morning, guys.
Good morning.
What can we do for you?
So I'm a little concerned. My competitor is receiving a lot of local press, and I'm kind of jealous. I want to get some of that for myself. So what can I do?
Well, jealousy is an ugly thing, Anthony. First off. Second,
I don't think Anthony wants to be chided necessarily. I think he wants advice.
Secondly, your competitor is probably getting a lot of local press because they're probably sending press releases or writing columns for the local media. So I'd say get your foot in the door with some of that yourself.
Yeah, yo, Tony.
Tony.
Look, we had Barbara Corcoran at the Women's Summit in New York City, and one of the things she had talked about when she was running her real estate empire and just continuing to grow it, she would give ideas to newspapers, and she would conduct little study groups, 15 people, which would give her stats, and then she could say, according to our study group, you know, 75% of the people enjoy this or that or whatever it is. So you can do that as well. You can get little study groups of your friends together, look at some promotional products, whether it's tote bags or T-shirts or caps, get them to decide what they like the best, put a press release together with some stats, you send it to your local papers.
Mm-hmm. Reporters and writers love ready-made stats.
That's right.
And that's what Barbara Corcoran had said.
Mm-hmm. Can I interject really quickly? I actually recently did a piece on a company in New York called The Cure, and they have a page on Tumblr that they have 3,000 followers right now, and she says that she receives about 100 new followers every single day. So you might want to look at Tumblr and see how you could or other social networking blog sites where you could start a blog up.
Mm-hmm. I would say that too. You know, get a Twitter page, Twitter account, whatever you call it, and then put that at the bottom of all your emails. Follow me on Twitter at whatever your Twitter account is, and that'll go out every time you send emails to anyone. Hopefully you build a following that way.
The Twitter is very effective.
The Twitter. On the internet.
Well, Anthony, hopefully that gives you some ideas on how to build buzz and beat out the competition a little bit. Thanks for calling.
Thank you.
We also had a question written in through Facebook. Is that right, Vinny? Through Facebook? It comes from Joanne, and she wrote, what can a company do to generate hype about their products when they are just starting out? So new businesses in the industry looking to create hype. Anybody?
Joe?
Well, I would say, you know, if you're a supplier, send them into the Joe Show, and we'll put them on there. We also can give them coverage in some of our showcases in the variety of magazines that we have, because we always feature and we love new products. And also we have some services I know that are out there that you can send email advertising with ASI Email
And like
Express.
Michelle said, self-promotion, right?
Self-promotion is a great one.
I would say if it's a distributor and you're trying to reach maybe some new clients or to build your recognition in the area, have an open house and give out gift bags of promotional products things like that.
I was just going to say, last week I talked about a woman we interviewed for Advantages Magazine, too, that said she does business neighbor prospecting. She brings a sample around to all the businesses in her neighborhood and has a MapQuest map with it saying, we are located here. So they know their neighbors. Mm-hmm. They like to do business with somebody local in case anything goes wrong with their order. I think that was a really good way to get her company recognized.
That's a good idea. Also, you know, the chambers of commerce. You have to get involved with the chambers of commerce and go and exhibit at those events. If you're a distributor, you're going to show the self-promotions or the promotions you did from other companies, and it'll showcase what you can do for some of the attendees there.
You know, I also think distributors have a great opportunity around holidays and, you know, seasonal events. Like we've been doing here, we've been sending out press releases about, you know, for the best products for St. Patrick's Day. Or what did we do, Joe? We did Valentine's Day
Day.
So local media, small, you know, newspapers or local news stations, they always like to capitalize on news stories around holidays. So, you know, put a list together of the top five promotional products for the summer, you know, and send that out.
And I would add to that, don't just focus on the normal holidays either.
Absolutely.
One of my advisory board members, she sends clients, like, basically monthly, quirky little holiday gifts for quirky little holidays.
Quirky little holidays?
Yeah.
You can get some good ideas out of Successful Promotions magazine. Mm-hmm. There's a two-month calendar in there.
And Advantages, too, has hot dates.
As well.
Yep.
You know, the other thing is that this is going to be hard work. There's no magic bullet. There's no magic pill that you're going to swallow. You're going to have to work hard, network hard.
I don't want to.
Well, Kathy, you will be unsuccessful in this venture.
Necessarily.
So, yeah, just continue to work hard out there.
Yeah, but the message is to do it, right?
Yeah.
Because, you know, the more press releases and things you do to try to build buzz, the more more potential you will to pick up the buzz.
Mm-hmm. To build the buzz.
Mm-hmm.
All right, well, we need to break right now for a message from our sponsor. But when we get back, we're going to hear a little bit about product placement with Sex and the City.
This portion of ASI Radio was sponsored by iPromoteU. Distributors and salespeople, consider affiliating with iPromoteU today. Be more productive, be more profitable, be happier, and retain your independence. iPromoteU, the smart choice. For more information, call 800-850-3370 or email opportunities at iPromoteU.com.
All right, welcome back to today's Tuesday morning show, where we were talking about effective ways to build buzz for your business. You could still give us a call at 215-953-4979 to ask us a question about that or any topic. But now we want to move on to the topic of millennials and how they're going to run the business world someday.
You throw me off, host.
Kathy?
You throw me off. You said Sex in the City. Now you come back to me. Okay.
We are going to hear about Sex in the City, just not immediately.
All right.
Now it's your turn.
Right now I'm going to tell you about a study.
Please do.
That's telling you what millennials want in the workplace. Okay?
Yeah.
Your average 26-year-old has held 7 jobs. Can you believe that? Seven jobs
already. By the time they're 26.
And you know what the number one reason is?
They
just need a change. They cite it. This is the number one reason for changing jobs in search of an intellectually stimulating workplace. So
like
I don't know if you're going to get it in our department.
That's the excuse, not the reason.
Sorry, intern.
We're waiting for it.
No, I'm just kidding. 43% prefer receiving news or info about products and services from friends, which occurs largely through social networking sites, mm-hmm. like Joe was talking about, Twitter, Facebook, and all that kind of stuff. At work, more than half, 54% of 20-somethings, prefer making decisions as part of a team as opposed to solo. And less than 10% said they sought new jobs in search of a more senior position. So they're not looking for, you know, a promotion. They just want some stimulating environment.
Something different.
Yeah.
Well, instead of hearing from Kathy, who's not a millennial, we have a couple in our studio
That's
here
right.
today.
So you're not a millennial either, Andy.
Hell no. Let's do a little focus group. What do you guys want out of the workplace when you're working?
Well, I think that people who want a more stimulating environment, I think that's very true because, I mean, you know, when you're working 8 hours a day, you're not going to sit there if you're bored to death. So
no, you're not.
You know, even the people who want the easy way out, they don't want to be, you know, doing busy work and doing things that isn't stimulating them. So
yeah,
I agree with that.
Definitely.
Yeah,
and I used to work at Marshall's department store and at Panera Bread and like, I mean, just all day shelving clothes and picking mm-hmm. up after customers. It's makes me really appreciate retail, but at the same time, it also makes me appreciate how much I need to, you know, focus on my career and like what I would like to do later on. So definitely focusing more on where you're headed as well as something stimulating.
I think that what that says for employers is if they want to keep millennials happy, they need to have maybe programs or perks and benefits
mm-hmm.
That stimulate employees, you know, maybe things with outside the company, like, you know, career development and things like that. I think it's drastically different than it used to be back in Joe's day, where someone stayed at a job, you know, whether they liked it or not, you know,
right.
for 30 years.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's just not the norm these days.
No.
She's on the downhill side of 40 anyway, so, I mean, she's got room to talk. That car's careening towards 50, and the brakes are failing.
All right, before we keep making fun of each other's issues, let's move on. So, Michelle, Sex and the City 2 has come out, and there's a lot of product placement going on in that movie. So there tell us a little bit about that.
Who here has seen Sex and the City?
I have.
Vinny, Steve, Andy?
The second one?
Lord,
the second one, yeah.
I
recognize I'll never get those 2 hours of my life back. So
Two and a half.
Oh, sorry.
And I sat through it.
Oh, okay.
Well, of course, one of the prominent things about Sex and the City, the movie, the TV show, was all about the branding and the products and the shoes and everything.
Right.
And for people who watch the show, you know that Carrie, when she would type her little column, she says dismissively, always did it on a Mac laptop.
Her little column?
Yeah, her little column.
Little column.
She always did it on a Mac laptop. She was very well known for that. But Hewlett-Packard has signed a deal with the Sex and the City 2 movie. So if you watch the movie and you see it, Carrie now, while she still does use the Mac laptop, you'll see Hewlett-Packard's when Samantha is at her desk in her office.
I did not notice.
It's very prominently placed. Apple never pays for product placement. They'll give free products. So they were really getting quite a deal. But Hewlett-Packard paid big to have their products shown. Also, there's a lingerie line called Casabella, and they came out with a Sex and the City line with lingerie specifically designed for the character. So, for example, if you buy Samantha lingerie, it would be infinitely more, what's the word, slutty than lingerie than you would buy for a Charlotte or a Miranda or a Carrie.
Well, don't they also have t-shirts that say, like, I'm a Carrie?
They do have t-shirts that say that. They should say, I don't have my own individual
personality.
Right, I was
going to say that.
I need to simplify myself to a stereotype.
Yeah, exactly. They have some that say, you know, property of Mr. Big. Shopping is my cardio. So
it's the second week in a row we've had a Mr. Big reference on this show.
Yeah.
At the HBO store, apparently there's a whole area that like dedicated in pink and, you know, it's, you know, totally decked out in Sex and the City stuff. But there are these brands that are really, you know, kind of riding the wake of the Sex and the City movie and doing it quite well.
It's a big movie, yeah.
Yeah.
Now, Kathy, when you went to the movies, did you drink your Cosmos?
No. There's no alcohol involved.
Wow. Because Pauline,
what do you mean there's
first...
no alcohol involved, like in the movie?
No, with me, that night.
Well, at the movie.
That night.
Probably before.
At the movie.
In those
in
2 hours.
In the after.
When Pauline went to the first one, breaks. Was it 2 years ago?
Uh-huh.
But I mixed them all up, Cosmos, but she says she wasn't the only one. The women all over the place are pulling out their little, you know, martini glasses and having their Cosmos.
In the movies?
In the movie theater. So this year I asked her if she wanted more Cosmos. She said no.
No. Did she like the movie?
Yeah.
Yeah, I liked it. Isn't
I liked
3D?
It because I didn't have to go.
What?
3D.
I
know.
Mr. Big and
where
they
was in 3D.
We don't need to see any of those women in 3D.
I won't be seeing any of those women at all because I don't get that whole thing. But anyway, for our Counselor's July issue, we're going to be talking about apparel and the latest apparel trends. And we wanted to give you a couple of highlights from there. Joe, I know that you have a little feature called Ask the Apparel Guy.
Yeah,
it's in every issue, but
is.
We blew it out for the July
issue.
You
blew it out, and you blew that character of me up as well, so my head even looks huger than it used to look. That
well, you have a
picture.
Big head all around, so we figured let's make it really big.
When my kids saw that picture for the first time, they say, why do you have a head the shape of a potato?
So, oh,
Mr. Potato Head.
But anyway, Andy, I answered five questions with some apparel dilemmas, and one of the ones I liked is that a distributor was working with a client who's doing a ski trip, an incentive ski trip, and wanted to announce it with something that was cool, cold weather and pretty cool and current and hip and all that stuff. And I love these gloves. I saw them for the first time in Kathy's magazine. They're gloves that actually have nozzles in them. You know when your hands are really cold, you take your gloves off and you blow into your hands? Well, this you don't have to take the gloves off. So there's a little nozzle, and you can blow the hot air right into your glove without ever removing them. And the fingers have nibs on them. So if Michelle ever went skiing, wait for laughter to subside.
Michelle could spend time in the ski lodge.
She could continually on the ski lift operate her precious BlackBerry because of the nibs on the fingers.
They come off, right?
No, the fingers have little nibs on them.
So
you don't have to take the
nibs. So they don't slide around,
The technical term, nibs.
Nibs.
Yeah, that's what it is. It is a technical term.
Really?
Nibs. So I think that they're pretty cool. I guarantee they're not going to get those gloves anywhere else. So
they are cool.
You know, imagine that everyone who becomes part of this incentive contest gets these gloves to announce it. Even if you don't win, you still have a neat pair of gloves.
We should put that picture on our website so people can see what we're talking about.
We can do that.
Gotcha. Yep.
On the internets.
On the internets.
It is actually a good feature. There are five challenges that are posed, and Joe, our apparel dude,
knocked them out of the park.
And helps solve those challenges. Also in that issue, we have a couple of important stories, one on licensing and how distributors can get licenses to sell apparel to colleges. So that's one thing to look for. And something else on greenwashing and helping distributors differentiate from what suppliers are claiming in their marketing and actually what is actually true as far as green is concerned and eco-friendliness and the types of things that are in the suppliers' clothing. So make sure to be on the lookout for that.
I think that's always going to be a fuzzy area.
It is.
The greenwashing, no matter what the product is. Anyone can call anything eco, like a coffee mug's an eco-friendly product because you don't throw it out, so right. It doesn't go into landfill.
Well, yeah, here's also the problem specifically with apparel. There's no test to prove that a t-shirt is made of organic cotton. So it's just cotton, and there's no test to prove that it's organic or not. So you're basically taking their word for it,
right.
which is a tough thing to deal with.
Isn't there an organization that actually certifies that
there
cotton
is? Yeah.
So then I would assume that some of those certifications could come with the cotton.
The certifications come prior to the shirt being made. But once it's made, then there's no test to go back and see if it's made out of organic cotton or just regular cotton. But your point is well taken, because it means distributors really need to ask questions and make sure that their suppliers have those kind of certifications.
Yeah, and bamboo is one of the big ones now, because it grows without the use of pesticides or fertilizers, and it grows so fast. The problem is that there's a huge footprint on the planet with the chemicals used to actually process the bamboo into the fibers that can make the shirts. So they got a lot of great properties to them. However, you know, how eco-friendly is it? In the mm-hmm. growing process, it is. The manufacturing process, not so much.
Right. Yep. A lot to look out there for. Michelle?
No, I was just looking at my diamond ring.
I'm sorry. I thought you were raising your hand.
No, I literally was just looking at my ring.
You are admiring your diamond ring.
Is that an engagement ring? Are you making an announcement?
No, because it's on the wrong finger, Joe.
How cool would that have been, though, if Michelle made that announcement?
Announced it right here. Can you announce it when you do get engaged right here?
No.
That would be funny.
She's a little red. A little blushing.
Yeah. Who's the prospective, Michelle?
Moving on.
Okay. Well, Joe, you've been working out tremendously, right?
Yes.
So
Thank you,
know
Andy.
All about what I guess this term is shape.
Welcome to the Gut Show. Play the laughter.
We got the laugh track
roll
on.
Very good, Steve.
Joe has been working out, Steve. So he knows all about this new retail trend called shapewear.
Shapewear, yeah.
Tell us all about it.
Who knows who Sarah Blakely is?
I do.
She talked at an ASI show.
Andy actually interviewed her. And that was a very good interview. She's the inventor of Spanx, which are those form-shaping undergarments that women wear. And now they've come out with a line for men.
Right.
And this is going to be a big, big industry. And they say it doesn't replace a dieting or exercise and stuff, but it will
put
all your stuff in the right area. It'll
all your stuff?
You. Like, compression tees have been big with athletes. All your stuff, your flash, your Andy, all your stuff.
All your junk. Junk in the trunk.
Again, moving on.
Anyway, moving on. They were first only available at Neiman Marcus. Now they're on Bloomingdale's, Saks Fifth Avenue, and Nordstrom's, and you can get them online at freshpair.com. But a lot of celebrities are wearing them, too, and it's kind of like wink, wink, you know, look at me, look how good I look, but you're actually wearing them.
What did I tell you about those before? It's like stuffing 10 pounds of sausage in a 5-pound bag.
Okay.
It's very uncomfortable. I don't see the appeal.
If women should have to do it, why shouldn't men?
Well, we don't have to.
You don't have to.
So it's like it's girdle-like clothing.
Yeah, it's like t-shirts, a lot of t-shirts, crew necks, V-necks, muscle t-shirts. And they're also coming out. Another popular but hush-hush product is profile-enhancing underwear, and I'm quoting here, which he called the equivalent of a push-up bra for men.
Ah!
What are you pushing up?
Yeah.
I don't know. These products aren't cheap either. T-shirts go for up to $109 for one t-shirt. $109. So it's all to look good. It's problem solving and another way of feeling secure and prepared for life.
Yeah, baby.
One of the wow. benefits, though, that they're saying for men is that these compression shirts are helping them with lower back pain.
Oh, yeah.
Because it squeezes everything in there, and it gives you better products. But, and this is the final line in the article here, and we'll put this online. It's from a Twitter feed. It says, Spanx for men is all good until you meet a chick. You gain 45 pounds when you get naked. So, in other words, it's that little bit of false advertising. What are the implications for this industry?
Joe has just scared the whole studio.
Just like the Wonder Bra. When you take it off, you wonder where they went.
Are there any implications for this industry, Andy? No one knows yet. But,
well, we follow retail trends pretty closely, sure, so I'd imagine we'll be that. Seeing that on a trade show floor near you someday.
All right, I'd like to be
done. There's not much of a segue out of that, so I'm just going to move on. Kathy, you're going to talk to us about how distributors can sell to fundraisers.
Yeah, that's right. We have a really good article in June Advantages, Fabulous Fundraisers.
I'm sure it's a great
article.
So
read all about it.
That's it. That's all you're going to say is read all about
it. Read all about it. That's my tip. Here's five expert tips that are from this article. The first is, of course, know the audience. It might sound simple, but a lot of people don't take this into account. You don't want to give out wine glasses for alcohol abuse prevention, right? Things like that. Also,
usually not.
Suggest corporate sponsorship. Since most fundraiser attendees are generally very passionate about the given cause, the use of promotional items may right or wrong be considered by them to be a waste of money. So, if you're using corporate sponsorships to help defray some of the costs, they're not seeing it that way. Also, help with the margins. For any given fundraiser, nonprofit should have enough wiggle room to raise the retail price of the promotional items significantly, but not to the point where no one will buy them. But the point is to raise funds. And also keep up with trends. There are some new fundraising trends, and this article points to one, Indiegogo.com. It's a launch pad for a wide variety of organizations looking to raise money. So that's a really good starting point. Indiegogo.com.
One of the things I would also say is that if you're dealing with fundraisers, tell them that they can't forget about the volunteers, because the volunteers aren't getting paid. They're coming in. They're putting a lot of time and effort in for something that they, you know, have a vested interest in maybe. Mm-hmm. So at the end of the event, you know, it could be something as an appreciation plaque. It could be something that's giving them all staff T-shirts at this event or staff's poster. Yeah, something that makes them feel connected to each other.
That's a good point. And another thing I would say for distributors,
and another thing.
Now, one more thing I think is a good tip is to help out at the special event, too, because then you become more of a partner with your client.
Yeah, and it's certainly a big market for distributors to target, not just nonprofits, but specifically the events that they put on.
Mm-hmm.
And those organizations are always looking for unique things. You know, they do everything on an annual basis, and they don't want to just give out the same T-shirt every year. They want to do unique things. So watch the Joe Show to get some unique product ideas, right, Joe?
There you go, Andy. Good idea.
Anytime I can give you a plug.
All right.
I'll give you a plug.
I like it.
All right, Joe. So we got this thing. You had the, what was it, shapewear for men?
Yeah.
Now we're talking Naked Fridays.
All right. This is
Naked
not a,
Fridays?
This is not a joke.
What is this
Alan.
About?
There is a British TV station called Virgin One, and they just did a six-part documentary series where they spent a week at a company and they looked at all the office issues, like all the office politics and people complaining about their spouses and blah, blah, blah. And at the end of the week, they had, which was not mandatory, but they had a Naked Friday. And the idea
was everybody showed up naked?
Not everyone. Some people did. Some people wore just undergarments. Some people had strategically placed tote bags. The idea is that if you strip everyone of their inhibition, you will have an office environment that's more honest, that's more open. And they did some studies. They found that people are more productive because
they're so nervous. You know, they don't even want to look at other people or talk to them.
I am all for the honest and open office environment. This one.
Right.
Though.
Yeah. Wow.
How about
this
let's
is a little
just
wacky.
Try being truthful with each other.
This is the best line in the article, and this will go online, and I got to pull my glasses down because I can't see the tiny print.
Oh, boy.
Here's the line. But you know how this is going to turn out. It's not going to be the hot chick from marketing who decides to go along with your little experiment.
It never is.
It will be that guy from accounting whose major food groups are Cheetos, beer, and Funyuns.
He's the guy with a lot of extra stuff.
But
to pack away.
They're actually serious about this. And,
I'm sure they are.
You know, as a viable option to build company morale, to build productivity, to strip down barriers and walls within an office environment.
So my question is, when are we having a naked radio show? Because we're kind of inhibited.
That's next week.
When I get cycled out. Yes, when I cycle out.
So Kathy, speaking about insane work environments,
oh my God,
how does one stay sane in a crazy work environment?
This is staying sane in a negative work environment.
Oh, negative. Okay.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, going to work each and every day.
I would say that a Naked Friday is a negative working environment.
Yes, it could be. But, you know, it puts a real drain on you when you have to work with negative people every day. So this article.
Tell me about it.
Captain Killjoy. This article says, don't buy into the negativity. The people around you may be stressed and resentful. It doesn't mean you have to participate, Andy.
I'm just looking at Michelle.
I'm not talking about anybody in this room.
Full of hate.
When you fight fire with fire, you become part of the problem. So don't be negative yourself. That's for you.
That was for me?
Yeah.
Okay.
Give yourself a break. Align yourself with others who aren't part of the negativity. Also, make sure to set aside time to take breaks so you can get out of the office for a while. Or even take a day off, Andy. Take a day off.
Can I take today off? Yeah. Rest off? Cool.
Little breaks are good. I cruised the hallways yesterday in the cooler.
I saw you cruising the hallways.
That was so did about funny. 40 down the front hallway. We couldn't even catch him.
Start circling.
One more tip. Stay away from office politics.
Steve is scaring us with the sound effects.
Anyway,
this morning.
Don't participate in the gossip. You
agreed.
Get the idea.
Stay away from the office politics.
Right.
All right. Well, speaking of somebody who's insane, we have just enough time left for Joe's rant. God. So, Joe, hit it.
Oh, my God. Let's talk about unnecessary modifiers. Yes, Andy, unnecessary modifiers. Easy for me to say, Ellen. On the way into work today, following an award ceremony at school where my son Shane was recognized for his service contribution to Edmonton and the local community.
We already heard about that.
I heard this on the radio news. Blah, blah, blah. A deadly murder-suicide. Now, Andy, I asked you, how many murder-suicides are not deadly?
Not too many.
Okay, if someone didn't die, then it would be an attempted murder or attempted suicide. The modifier deadly in this case is unnecessary. This is one of those pet peeves that is stuck way up in my crawl. Ever watch the news and hear the anchor talk about a terrible fire that claimed 3 lives? Really? Does that fire really need that modifier? No. Give it to me straight. As Michelle knows and loves to say so much about me, I'm a meat and potatoes guy when it comes to news. Sit at your anchor desk and tell me
who,
what, where, why, and when. I don't need gimmicks and I don't need flowery, over-the-top, modified words. I know what a tough life I'm living here, but it makes me cringe, and sometimes I shout out in anger when I hear or read dumb stuff. Anyway, that's all I have from here on our gorgeous state-of-the-art downtown Trevo's radio station.
Well, that was an interesting and unique and informative rant.
Inspiring.
Well, unfortunately, we are all out of time for today, but please tune in next week when our fearless leader will probably be back, right? Melinda Lagos.
Here's hoping.
Goodbye, everybody.